Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's Wednesday here in Pittsburgh, and it's week 18.
Week 18. Halfway through.
Where did this all go?
I know. It's pretty crazy. Halfway through the week, end of the season, crazy week around the league, but Steelers are pretty cut and dry what you're going to get from them. You know,
I mean, very simple. You know, yeah. I did some math last night. I did some, not math, but looking into
some
the
figuring.
Whole. Some figuring. And a lot of people said, well, you know, if the Steelers wouldn't have had that tie against the Lions, they'd be in much better shape right now. Actually, they wouldn't.
Really? If they were won
that's
the game?
That's not the one that, because okay. They would still need.
It's an NFC game.
You'd still need the Colts to lose because the Colts have a better conference record than you.
Gotcha.
And you would still need the Chargers to lose.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because.
So same deal.
Yeah. Or if you'd have beaten the Raiders, either way, either of those two games. Because
well, that would have been.
Either one of those two. But you had a lead against the Chargers.
True. Okay.
And they gave up the lead.
Right. That would have been a bigger loss.
If they're sitting at 9-7 right now, as opposed to 8-7-1, they're still in the same scenario. They would still need the Chargers to lose and the Colts to lose.
Okay.
To get into the playoffs.
Worse.
Right. They would need both teams to lose.
Which is weird. Okay.
Yeah. It is. It's strange. But that's the reality of it. That tie actually means nothing right now.
No.
They would still technically be alive in the division race.
No, I guess the Bengals wouldn't have locked it up by now.
But the Bengals still would have the tiebreaker on.
They would still have the tiebreaker. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
So it's all relative right
now. Yeah, right. I mean, I do think fans do that too often, and media as well, all of us. You know, we're not going to do the figuring that you did of, well, what was the game that got away? You know, what's the difference? Because, you know, as you were saying that, I'm sitting here thinking, well, they made the playoffs last year. The 2 years before that, they were the 7 seed when 6 teams went, not
right.
7. And you could easily go, well, one away or one half game away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this game, that game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams in the league this year that can talk about this game or game. Or
without question. How do we lose the Jags? Or how do you know? I mean, hopefully it's the Colts after week 18.
We shall see. Again, I'm not betting on that, but there is a history there.
There is a history there. And, you know, Wentz didn't play well last week, and he also was – didn't practice last week, which
we still got guys going on the COVID list as well all week long. The Steelers getting everybody who had been on their active roster, back today off the COVID list, and then Joe Hayden goes on,
And it's late in the week, You said Keith Butler went on as well too,
Now Hayden has a because of the way the rules have changed.
If he's vaccinated, he's a shot, right?
If he's vaccinated and having no symptoms, that's the key, is being symptom free.
Okay,
you can get back in a few days. I looked it up last week when they put like Schobert and Wormley on. At that point, and that was what, last Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, it was pretty late.
Yeah. There had been 8 players since the new rules had been put in place who had gotten through COVID protocols in 3 days or less.
And that's probably the quickest you could possibly
That's about get. As quick as you can do
okay,
it.
Yeah. Everything lines up perfectly.
There were a couple that got through in 2 days, but 3 days is typically what it takes. So if you go to 3 days,
well, then
you have
he's
a shot.
Got a shot.
You get a shot.
He's got the sniffles or whatever.
The
right
problem
now.
Is that the game is in Baltimore.
And the travel.
I think you're better
that.
Off if you're at home in those situations because the team can wait and make some of those designations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess he could drive himself or somebody.
True.
Drive
it's not.
Or whatever. Right.
He could fly if he wanted.
Yeah,
to.
I guess he could fly too.
But
interesting though.
Yeah.
But they're getting a lot back.
It's not the worst team to be missing.
That's
a cornerback against.
And with Witherspoon stepping up too.
Yeah.
I mean, Bateman and Brown are a good young pair. But they're not a great passing team.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure even what quarterback you're going to see.
The only difference is, I mean, Hayden helps out in the run game. I think he's more physical than Witherspoon as a tackler.
I think that's safe to say. And I don't know if this is an issue with Witherspoon, but Hayden obviously is mentally advanced in terms of not going to blow a coverage.
He's a 32-year-old cornerback. Yeah. He's seen a lot.
And I'm not on the field with the guys, but just, you know, reading the tea leaves and what the coaches say, sounds like he's a very good communicator, even from, you know, the edge of the field, you know, getting everyone lined up.
You're not going to fool Joe Hayden much.
No. I mean, big picture, Witherspoon might take his job this year, a year from now anyway.
That's the thing. This could have been Joe Hayden's last game as a Steeler.
Possibility, right.
That kind of stinks that mm-hmm. you know, he didn't get to play it.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to have a conversation of, hey, we'd love to have you back, but at this number. You know,
right. You know. Maybe, you know, and Joe's a proud guy.
He should be. He's a great player, and he's had a great career. Right?
Yeah, and I, you know, when he's played this year, I think he's played fine.
Oh, I wouldn't hesitate to bring him back. It's not like, oh, he's getting old.
You're just not going to sign him to a long term,
right?
Know, and that's the problem. You know, is somebody else going to say, hey, we'll bring you in as a, we have a young cornerback room.
No, we need you to be the
Veteran mentor, or we feel like we're a corner away from being a Super Bowl team.
And there's a lot of teams. Jets come to mind. It just have dreadful corners and probably have money. You know,
that's the thing.
Like that,
you know, the thing about Hayden is he's made
some bucks.
A lot of bucks.
Yeah. He sure seems to like it here.
He does.
You know, I think
he
that
does.
Goes without saying.
So he can kind of pick and choose what situation he wants to go in.
Is it for the money or is it for the situation or, you know.
All of a sudden Kansas City come knocking on his door. He says, oh, that's a pretty good situation. I want to go try to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. You know, or Buffalo.
Wouldn't blame him a bit, you know, if he did something like that.
100%. But that being said, I mean, I think he's a very good player. I wouldn't change my prediction based on him being in this game or not. You know, I mean, but you'd rather have him, of course, depth. It's not like they run a lot of three receiver sets, though, either. So Sutton and Witherspoon can handle business, in my opinion. And
you get Millett back this week, so your nickels.
Good point.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid corner, by the way, a solid slot. I mean, I think he's a keeper.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean,
solid is the word.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I don't know that
he's
he is,
a little better.
He's not, you know, the best of the guys out there, but he's certainly not, you know, he's an obvious weakness.
No, right. I don't think he's somebody people pick on, and I think he's improved throughout the year, too.
But. In fact, I didn't want to go down this road here, but I know a lot of people are talking about this. We're heading into Week 18. The Steelers need a lot of help to get into the playoffs. I don't think the defense is a hard fix.
I don't either. And I got a lot of pushback from others. They're like, have you watched this team? Have you ever watched football in your life? That kind of thing. Well, let's start up front, though. I mean, you and I were talking off the air. They almost always keep six true defensive linemen.
They could keep seven.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But if you sit aside six guys that are pretty much shoe-ins to make this team a Cam, if you operate under the assumption that Tuitt and Alualu are going to be back, which –
They're
both under contract.
Yeah.
Loudermilk's a keeper. Warmly proved his worth over and over this year. And Adams, I think, is a fine, too. I mean, for what you're paying him, maybe you wait one more year on a second-round pick or something.
I mean, if the opportunity presents itself, you take it, but that guy's going to be inactive, or unless he's a true stud, you know, maybe Wormley's inactive, or you know, whatever
it
is, you
or
help.
There's an injury.
You help your depth.
Sure, I mean, I wouldn't ignore it.
Right,
but maybe it's not as much a priority as I thought. You
see
know,
the next Loudermilk out there in the fifth round, you grab him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all. It doesn't become necessarily because of what you've got coming back.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Alualu is getting up in age, but
right. I would like a shot of youth, you know, added to the nose-ish area of the
team.
But
if you think Adams is that guy, then okay.
Yeah, it's
and
not
people
so bad.
Have there's a misconception about Adams. In fact, I was telling you off the air. I got a question in my live cues yesterday. You know, what does it or is it a downer that or I forget how it was worded, but you know, what does it mean that that these other guys have been passed by a guy they signed off of somebody's practice squad and a fifth round rookie? I'm like, the guy they signed off the practice squad was a third round draft pick.
Right. I think he was like a 4 or 5 star recruit at Auburn. I mean, he
was a top recruit at Auburn, was considered going into his senior year a potential first round draft
pick. He was on all the lists, you know, going into that final year. Right.
I mean, and he was a big time player.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he has some bumps along the way, as a lot of these guys do, But he has more pedigree than Davis, Bugs, you know, Mondu. You know, yeah, I mean, these guys weren't drafted, or they were late round picks.
That's what was, you know, my other point is the other guy was a fifth round pick. The other guys you're talking about are sixth and seventh round picks and an undrafted rookie free agent.
So the answer to your guy's question is, well, because those guys are playing like sixth and seventh round picks. They're not playing like starters.
They had their chance.
And going past them wasn't all that great of a challenge.
Right.
And that's why you go get them. I mean,
they had their chance.
I didn't plan on having this conversation either. Would you be set at linebacker off the ball?
I think you can get.
I mean, I'd love to see those two protected better.
Yeah. That would go a long way
to evaluate them.
Right.
I'm glad you don't have to make the decision right this minute about Bush's fifth year option.
Right. You're going to have to make it in the offseason.
Yeah, right.
You know, so yeah. It's like $12 million.
It's a no.
I don't think you pick it up.
I think it's a no.
But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily gone. I think it's an Edmonds situation where, hey, we can't pay you $12 million a year.
Not for what you're putting on tape right this minute, right?
But
and they have a lot more knowledge about his knee and stuff too that we don't, of course. But
and I think maybe you keep adding bodies to that because those guys are available. You know, Ulysses Gilbert was a sixth round draft pick. Buddy Johnson was a four.
I mean, he played 25 snaps or so, but I thought Gilbert held up pretty well this past week.
Right,
but he's had trouble getting on the field, and I'm not going to say he's the answer. Buddy, we haven't seen anything from. I mean, I guess you're probably foolish if you just run it back with those as your four and Marcus Allen or whoever. But I wonder if that, you know, how high a priority, I guess, is really my question.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to adding, you know, we did a lot of draft research on that position.
It's not the hardest position to find a veteran either.
No, it's not. But you can find these young guys in the middle rounds. There's, you know, probably 50 guys in this year's draft who are, you know, 6'2", 230 pounds that can run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Buddy Johnsons of the world and the Gilberts of the world. But the Roquans and the top guys you got to pay for, I don't think I'm ready to invest that especially with other needs.
You got other needs.
Right.
You know, in the cornerback position, you know, if you re-sign Witherspoon, you know, Pierre's got some... You know,
I want him in camp.
He
I
made some plays. He's a good special teams player. Justin Lane's a good special teams player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem bringing either one of those two guys back and adding maybe another slot to the equation.
I mean, corner's one of those positions I almost feel like you should draft one every year.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be a slot or an outside, you know, best available fourth, fifth round pick type guy, add him to the mix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you see what happens with Edmonds at the strong safety.
Yeah, I would bet he's back, but who's to say? I mean, he might want to test the water.
Somebody may offer him more money. I mean,
somebody probably will.
Yeah,
I mean, to be frank, unless they don't ever get to test the waters. You know, if they nail him right away.
I mean, on the open market, you're probably looking at $6 million.
I was
going to
say six. So it's funny you said that. Yeah, I was going to say six ish for a solid starting safety. Arrow's probably still going up, young, played a lot of snaps. I mean, I know who he is if I'm another team and evaluate
him. So if that happens and the Steelers look at it and go, you know what, we can spend that money. We like the player, but we can spend that money elsewhere, you know, and get a guy, you know, $4 million a year to play strong safety.
Thinking, you know, $3 or $4 million a year veteran and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, too. It's a small deal because it really doesn't matter in the big picture, but I don't love when the two starters at a position like that are the exact same age. You know what I mean?
That's always
kind of nice to stagger them just to pay them easier. And, you know, one develops and passes it on to the next guy who passes it on to the next guy and that type of thing. But then those two are the same age.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when people talk about the Bengals, the Bengals are in this for the long term. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe.
Because, are they going to be able to keep Higgins in another 2 years?
No, you're talking about from that angle. I mean, I don't know.
Second round draft pick. The quarterback was the first round draft pick. You're going to have to pay the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Burrow's not going to.
And then you got Chase waiting there in the wings. And anything you pay Higgins, Chase is going to go,
I want more. Of course. Yeah. And he'll deserve it.
And all of a sudden, now you're paying your wide receiver room a gajillion dollars, you know?
Right. But at least they're built through the draft. You know, they'll have the power there, you know, obviously. And they can pick up Chase's fifth year and, of course, Burrow's fifth year. So that's a ways down the road. But I hear what you're saying.
Not that far.
It happens quick.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Higgins.
It's amazing we're talking about Bush's fifth
year. They're heading into year three next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does move along. It's why the Browns window's closing.
Right.
They had their shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they got their quarterback was still on his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not going
to
be.
Now he's not going to be, and they could go. Now he starts to cost money. Organization. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess just, I mean, first blush conversation about the defense, Edmonds would be the one I'm trying to keep, but I don't. If you lose everybody, it's not the end of the world. Witherspoon's the one I would like to keep, too.
Witherspoon's a must-keep.
Yeah. I think he is, too. Yeah.
But when he,
I don't know what he'd make. I mean, he's a tough one to judge at this time.
Yeah. And the thing is, if he does, let's say he goes somewhere else and signs somewhere else, he's probably looking at a, I don't know, four-year, $24 million, something, you know,
probably.
Four-year, $20 million, somewhere in that range.
Corners are expensive.
And yeah, corners cost money. Mm-hmm. If that happens, you gave up a fifth-round pick in 2023 for him. You're going to get the comp
third
pick
or fourth,
back. Yeah.
A year later.
You're
going to
get
whatever,
maybe
right.
a sixth-round comp pick back mm-hmm. for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So he has value if he leaves.
Yeah.
And yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you won that deal no matter what.
Right.
Even if he didn't
play.
He's
got three interceptions for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'd be in bad shape without him. But, no, I'd like to bring him back for sure.
Yeah.
And without question.
I think he likes it here, too. I mean, he's a 26-year-old cornerback.
It's a good situation.
Yeah.
And he's getting playing time now and shining. And so, yeah. I mean, I'm by no means, I don't think either one of us are saying, oh, ignore the defense, it's totally fine. But I don't know that it's in dire straits by any stretch.
No, I mean, think getting those defensive linemen back goes mm-hmm. a long way.
I mean, it wouldn't break my heart to have a fifth-round edge guy, too.
You yeah.
know, just a third guy or somebody along the what Roche could have been, or, you know.
I mean, you know, you got Tuska there is mm-hmm. making some plays.
I mean, he'll be in camp next year.
Yeah, he'll be in camp. Yeah, Taco Charlton probably has done enough to come back mm-hmm. you know, again, so you're not – devoid of talent
no,
with those positions.
But I can't see a first-round pick being on defense.
I don't either.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I haven't given this all that much thought, but, I mean, it'd be hard for me
fact,
to
In fact, I've seen some
that.
Of that from the from the mock drafts that are out there now. Steelers take an edge rusher. Steelers take a corner. I'm like, I don't think that happens.
I don't think that happens either.
You know, if anything at all, it would be some stud first-round or defensive lineman falls into mm-hmm. their laps, and like, we can't pass on this guy.
Right, if they fall in love with Jordan Davis from Georgia or something like that. But he has no passer, really.
You know, he doesn't.
I don't know. He's
a pocket. He's a pocket pusher instead mm-hmm. of a pass
yeah,
rusher.
Exactly. I mean, corner is such a valuable position. If there's a 6'2", 195-pound, 4'4", corner sitting there and you're picking 15 or 16 – it's hard to turn your nose up at those guys, and yeah. I would get it, you know, no matter what happens with Hayden. But all in all, I bet the first-round pick's an offensive player.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily even an offensive lineman, though.
Could be a quarterback.
Or a quarterback.
Right,
I don't think it's going to be a quarterback unless they fall in love with somebody.
I don't either,
I
need a lot more work, but I just can't see that.
I could see a wide receiver.
That's actually what I was about to say, too. It's like
the way these guys are hitting – you know, rookie, you know, you get the next Jalen Waddle or you get the next Jamar Chase. Like
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some of these guys that weren't top five picks even, like Chase was early, but Jefferson and, I mean, there's many names. And even in the second and third rounds that, boy, that'd be nice no matter who your quarterback is.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I mean, if Juju walks, then I think that's a very good possibility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you got three guys that are free agents. That
right. You have to pay attention to that, and that's the cheapest way to do it. It's mm-hmm. You know, at some point you're going to have to pay – you know, Deontay Johnson's contract is going to be up.
Right, right, right.
You know, going into next year.
And that back to that thing about guys being the same age, too. Like, then Claypool's the year after. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, all of a sudden, it's hitting you pretty fast. And they have pretty good success drafting receivers.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah, so that's kind of the my sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take a tight end, obviously.
No, we're running back.
We're right, running back.
Right. I mean,
but
it looks like a really good tackle draft in the area they should be picking, but I bet those guys get inflated a little, you know, but it looks like there's maybe six tackles or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you could get that guy and he just goes to the left and Moore and Chooks and Banner or whoever fight it out for the other spot, like, that ain't so bad.
You don't think Moore's the long-term answer?
That's not what I meant, tackle? You know, but if there was a true plug-and-play potential Pro Bowl starter first round, and you have one of those tackle spots figured out, you know, Moore might be the other answer, and just you have to bump him to the right or whatnot.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's promising. You know,
yeah,
but
he's part of the equation.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
He's definitely part of the equation. Again, I just look at this, I'm like, this, you know, you put a Jamar Chase on this roster.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, instead of being the number one, Deontay Johnson's the number two.
Yeah. It's, wow.
Yeah. I mean, the now you got effect. Something.
Right, right, right.
I mean, Najee Harris, it opens things up for Harris. And, you know, that
those guys are scary.
That true deep threat. That's why I'm not completely. I think Mason Rudolph's a pretty good down the field passer.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
I don't disagree with that part. Yeah. I don't think he's a starter, but I think he can throw the ball down the field.
Yeah. Now, whether it's, you know, if he goes in and wins a training camp battle and, you know, is he?
I mean, he's going to be here.
Yeah. Right? Oh, he's the guy who's under contract.
Right, right, right. For people who don't realize, I mean, he's going to be in camp and he's going to get a crack at it. Whether I mean, if they draft a guy,
there'll be competition.
Round.
Whether that be Dwayne Haskins and another guy, but they're not going to just sit pat and go, okay, we're just going to go with Haskins, Rudolph, and a fourth round draft pick.
No. I mean, there's gonna be more than that for sure. I mean, I don't know if they sign a Winston, Mariota, Trubisky type. Is there a competition? You know, are you battling with Rudolph, or you sign those guys with the intent of them being starters? But if you draft one the first round, you can't just hand the 15th pick in the draft the keys of the car. I mean, it might be Rudolph for a month, a year, who knows?
Yeah. Actually, you know, Ben Roethlisberger talked to the media today, was asked about Mason Rudolph. Mm. And he said, you know, he works really hard. He's smart. It's just the repetition. He got a lot of reps that year. I didn't play very much.
I know a lot of Wednesday practices.
Yeah.
These, you know,
I know he and Duck Hodges kind of did some splitting time. I think this offseason, knowing that there's going to be a competition for it, I think that it will be good for him. It's probably pretty hard to wrap your mind around what you have to do to be a starter when there's a veteran guy ahead of you.
Probably.
I think that could do wonders for him this offseason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's just a different mentality. Like, okay.
I mean, he should certainly prepare as if he's going to be the next starter.
And I think
whether he gets that opportunity or not.
I think the thing about Rudolph is that he's continued to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it this year. You know, everybody thought, well, Mason Rudolph's lead-footed. He can't run at all. Well, he's got two of the longer runs the Steelers have had this year.
He looks better and better in that capacity. Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't think work ethic or putting the time in
is a problem at all for him.
Or smart. So yeah. Right.
So, and I think the Steelers do like him. I think they like the fact that he's a student of the game and that he's.
I mean, they added an extra year to his contract.
Right.
You know,
they didn't do that just because, well,
it wasn't willy nilly.
Let's give Mason an extra $5 million.
Right. Just because we got a couple bucks laying around. It was so he's in camp next year.
Yeah. So they had themselves covered.
Right.
Okay. If Ben does retire, which obviously he's going to, we got a quarterback on the roster that, as Kevin Colbert likes to do, if we had to line up and play a game
that's
tomorrow.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is as we're having this conversation, I'm like, he's the definition of, if I got to play a game before the draft and before free agency starts, I got a guy. That doesn't mean I can't go over
can
him.
Can do
or
better
be
than
better,
that, yeah.
But I got one, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not short of, I'm not playing with Denver's wide receiver quarterback.
Because what you didn't want to happen is you go into the offseason with no quarterbacks on your roster.
Sure.
Because when you're talking to agents, they know that too,
and then three of the musical chairs get filled around the league,
and they start
you're
using
there with
nothing.
And
they're
your
using your offer against
right.
With somebody else. Well, you know, the Steelers are offering us this, and you keep now you're playing chicken with the agent.
Would you like to have Haskins back? I don't think he's ever going to be a first round starter.
I don't think so either. You know? I didn't love him coming out.
I didn't either, and I really disliked him in Washington.
Yeah.
I like him better now than I did in Washington.
I'd like to see him be more aggressive when he, the chances that he had in training camp and in the preseason last year.
He wouldn't cost you much. I'm sure.
No,
beating down his door, but
he's a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is put a tender offer on him.
Yeah. And then you at least get something back.
And if somebody else wants to sign him away.
Yeah, you got to pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is the easy answer. I mean, I'm not giving him a second round tender, you know, whatever the one after that is.
I'd probably put a two on him because he is a quarterback.
Because he's a quarterback. And it's not that much money.
You're talking about $3 million, $3 to $4 million. You know, you can do that.
Yeah, I guess that would work too.
And if he's your backup, he's, you know, you get a shot to win the job, and okay.
I mean, he might blow you away. I'd like to have him in La Trobe next year.
Yeah.
You know, whether he even makes a team or not, who's to say?
But he's got the arm talent.
Right. There's something there.
Yeah. You know? It's just a matter of, you know, is he willing to – it's the Ohio State thing.
Yeah.
You know, does he have to see it to throw it every time?
Sure seems like it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not a great athlete either, you know. And I don't know exactly what their recipe is. Do they want a Lamar Jackson type? You know, they've played against those guys and know how hard they are to deal with. I mean, would they be happy with Carson Strong from Nevada? A big, you know.
Boy, I like him.
He grows on me a lot, yeah, too. I mean, just early prep.
You want to talk about a guy with a big arm.
Big arm and
touchdown the field. And
yeah. He's not a stiff either. I mean, no. He can move around a little bit. I'm starting to worry that Senior Bowl and stuff are going to just shoot him up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's the best one in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be.
Yeah, he could be this year's big riser. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He's got a knee history.
Yeah, the problem also is I don't think this quarterback class as a whole is not viewed as a great one.
No, of course not. And he's not a star.
Yeah, I can remember. I know everybody in Pittsburgh is in love with Kenny Pickett and all that stuff. And you know, I can remember watching one of their early games this season, texting you and saying, yeah, Pickett's going to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, maybe third round, somewhere
It looks better than last year.
I haven't changed my opinion of that. He's probably still a second to third round talent.
That'll go 20th.
But he's a quarterback.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
That's just the way it goes with the quarterback position.
And I'm sure he'll interview well, and I'm not bashing Pickett at all.
You're going to get drafted in the – if I think you're at least a third-round draft pick, there's talent there.
I mean, I'm not sure he's any different than Daniel Jones coming out of school.
Yeah.
He went fifth or sixth.
You know, the people that talk about, well, look at his numbers. Look at, you know, look whose records he broke. Mason Rudolph broke a lot of records.
Numbers to me don't go all that far. I mean, it's great. I mean,
it's a nice thing to have on your resume.
Right.
But – yeah. It's not the only thing to have on your resume.
No, and he's not overwhelming physically. And, you know, I think he can be a good player, but I don't know that if the Steelers are picking 15 and he's there.
It's the Mac Jones argument for me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you spend the first round draft pick on a guy who is going to be
middle of the road?
Middle of the road.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins was not a first round draft pick for a reason.
I know.
Because he was, you know, the ceiling was there. Mm-hmm. If I'm drafting a first round quarterback because of. When you take a quarterback in the first round, the expectations surrounding a first-round quarterback is that he become a star.
Without a question.
And if he's not a star, then the pressure is just so great on the guy that it doesn't – it's if you look
at bust,
Bud Dupree and Terrell Edmonds, these guys, you get that first-round tag on you, people expect you to become – T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially at the quarterback position.
You know,
there's just so much outside pressure beyond just being a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Like, my opinion of evaluating the quarterback position coming out of school has changed in the last couple of years. And a lot of it's the Lamar, Allen, Baker draft. And I like to brag. Lamar was my one in that class, but Allen was my five.
Right.
You know, I liked Rosen and Darnold and Mayfield better than Allen because his accuracy was so bad. And I didn't like him his first 2 years at Buffalo because his accuracy was so bad, but his ceiling's so high. You know, like, okay, you swung, you missed, then you're probably going to pick early again.
But you had to live with that for a couple of years.
Right.
While he learned.
I mean, the Rosens of the world are. And they're not going to get you far, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, swing for the fences at quarterback.
Yeah. Don't just take a, well, he's, we right. think he can be an average starter.
Right.
No, not at that position.
I mean, 1 week from now, if we're talking about playoff games, 90% of those teams are going to have a very talented guy.
You can find Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
You can find an average quarterback on them.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Up next, Bob Labriola joins us.
Baby.
He's back. We got him. We finally have the capability to get him into the studio, so we will do that right after this. He's Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.